This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, here with our weekly visitation, discussing the things that are important for your food needs, what's going on the family farm, and the facts about, generally speaking, what we in our family life are interested in, what our children know, what do they need to know, that sort of thing. As an aside, I normally start the program with a few news stories. This is National Corn Week, for those of you who don't know it, celebrating the differences between sweet corn and what I call cow corn. Some people call it Brazilian corn. Some people call it maize. And just to trace back through, I'm going to spend a minute on this. Tracing back through the history of corn goes back 4,000 or 5,000 years and begins in a cave someplace in Mesopotamia, I think, in that region. And then, you know, it goes from here. Don't you? The reason I bring it up is because it gives us all cause to wonder a little bit, at least for me. Where did the first seed, where did the first corn seed come from? Where did the first spinach seed come from? The first carrot seed? Then whatever it is that we grow and have in our agricultural sites, where did it come from? The people who tease me or make fun of me because I think that, frankly, the Earth's population came from other planets, I think that with that comes the idea, and if you can explain it better than this, please help yourself. Send me a note at Doug@DougSteffen.com. But in terms of how we are preparing, think about it. Because we're ruining this planet. We can't grow good food anymore. There's too many people, all that stuff. The environment is in terrible condition. So we're going to try to get Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or Richard Branson or somebody like that to fly us to Mars so we can populate that planet. Well, who knows? Maybe way, you know, out to where Shatner went, beyond the limits of what our imagination are now, to populate other planets. And who says that that is what happened here? Because I can't find a reasonable explanation as to where seeds come from. And that brought me around to think about the fact that it was Corn Day and the different types of corns over the years, different, you know, sort of seed that's matured into what we call Brazilian corn or cow corn or, you know, all the other things, the sweet corn that we love to eat. Just food for thought. Also in the news this week, the development of milk without a cow. There's a cellular agricultural college, and according to them, cellular agriculture is the future of farming. And then the focus on dairy farmers specifically. Now, I know you've heard me say this any number of times if you listen to this program with regularity, whether when it's broadcast on your station or in podcast form at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, you know that I believe that there is no such thing as milk unless it comes from a mammary gland. So, but I'm having a hard time trying to qualify this milk in the conversation. The research is done at the Food and Ag Institute at the University of Fraser Valley in British Columbia. Food systems in transition is what they specialize in. And they are, this is, by the way, this area of British Columbia is where 60-70% of all the dairy farms in that area are. So it's especially of interest to those folks. And I find it because I'm a dairy guy. I grew up, been around cows all my life, milked a lot of cows in my time. The impact of this sort of cellular agriculture, what might it do to cows, to the dairy system that we have? We all know there are lots of changes. There are people, I think I talked about it here last month, the fact that they're trying to grow beef in a laboratory so that we don't have, this is all being done, by the way, in the name of keeping the planet from being ruined by methane gas. That's what all this, get rid of the dairy cows, get rid of the beef cows, because according to many environmentalists, the cattle are ruining the planet. And so I go back to my standard line, when you stand behind a cow and watch him or her poop, and then you go back to that circle where the poop was the next day and see all the green grass around it for about a foot in every direction. Hello, if you understand how botany works, how chemistry works, the things that are produced in a cow's stomach that come out, the microbes that get into the soil and enhance the soil, that's why it turns green, because it's better. Anyway, there are a lot of people who would drink milk, but they don't have access to it. Obviously, in this country, that's not the case, but a lot of places around the world, there are about a billion people, supposedly, that would like to have good milk protein, but they don't have it. So the animal agriculturalists are being scrutinized. The environmental impact of what they do and animal welfare issues come into the play. So why not take the easy way out, right? Let's come up with some kind of a machine that makes milk. Good God. I've actually looked into it, too, and I should get a guest on this program to have us all understand how cellular agriculture works. It makes biologically equivalent or near equivalent foods to those produced by animals. This is a bit different from plant-based meat and some of the plant-based dairy alternatives, like the Beyond Burger, you know, the Impossible Burger, the various things, oat milk and whatever, you know, all of that stuff that we talk about. The approach is to use advanced fermentation where yeasts and fungi and bacteria are genetically modified to produce proteins. This is, by the way, similar to how beer is brewed. So we're going to make milk like we make beer. That's basically what these guys are trying to do. And it, and the Food and Drug Administration is approving use of bioengineering to come up with the enzymes that are new, that are needed in milk and also in cheese making, that sort of stuff. They replace the original enzymes, which were harvested from calves' stomachs. So here we go. Microorganisms genetically modified to carry the appropriate calf gene. They're going to be used now for cheese. I don't know. I just find the whole thing. Am I sounding like some old codger? Maybe. Maybe. Yep. Could be. But anyway, tissue engineering is being done. And the meat stuff, the chicken even now, they're doing it with chicken. I don't know. I just find it. I believe dairy is one of the most important food commodities. There are 18,000 farm operators in America still running dairy farms and producing billions of pounds of milk every year. So what happens to those jobs? What happens to them? I mean, is this process progress? I kind of like the cows in the barnyard. I like them in the pasture. I like them in the milking barn. I don't know. It's just how much tradition are we going to replace? Food, definitely for thought here on the American Family Farmer. In a moment, we're going to meet Rob Myers, who comes to us as the director of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture at the University of Missouri. I want to talk with him about what the, you know, sort of the next step in regenerative agriculture, much along the lines of what we were just talking about. That's up next here on the American Family Farmer.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
That dinner was delicious. What's next?
I'm thinking just the check.
Do you frequently have gas, bloating, diarrhea, stomach pain, or loose oily stools after eating? One or more of these symptoms could be a sign of exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, and it may be time to talk to your doctor.
If you have EPI, Creon may be right for you. Creon, pancrolipase, is an oral prescription medication that treats EPI. Creon replaces enzymes you may be missing to help you break down food properly.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosis and colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Do not chew capsules or contents as this may cause mouth irritation. Tell your doctor if you have unusual or severe stomach pain, bloating, trouble passing stool, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, worsening of painful swollen joints, or allergic reactions. Other side effects may include changes in blood sugars, gas, dizziness, or sore throat and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Talk to your doctor about Creon, the number one prescribed EPI treatment, and visit GoCreon.com. That's GoCreon.com. Or call 1-800-633-9110.
Back to the American Family Farmer. Our guest this week is Dr. Rob Myers, who is the director of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture at the University of Missouri. Now, after I have taken a deep breath to say those words, then I put my cognitive reasoning hat on, Dr. Myers, to figure out what the heck it is that you do. And I think it'd be easier if I let you explain what the heck it is that you do.
Well, regenerative agriculture is one of these newer terms, as you know, in agriculture that is still evolving. There's no one definition, so that creates a challenge, right? But in short, regenerative agriculture, it's kind of a newer way of thinking about the sustainability of agriculture. I've worked in sustainable agriculture for 30 years. I'm a professor with a background in crop and soil science, and I also work with the USDA Sustainable Agriculture Program in addition to this center at Missouri. But what we do with our center is we assist farmers with efforts to adopt more soil health practices, including cover crops, no-till. We also assist them with trying to better integrate their livestock with their cropping systems, such as grazing, cover crops, or regenerative intensive pasture management. We also look at other conservation practices like buffer strips, pollinator habitat, things that can be implemented in the landscape to provide a little more biodiversity of plants and overall better conservation benefits. So those are a few broad strokes as to what we do from kind of an education and research standpoint. But we could talk more about what regenerative ag is because it's certainly an emerging area.
Well, I think you may have heard me talking in my first portion of this program every week brings me into the news, the conversation that is the news, and it happened that I explained a little bit about how cellular agriculture, according to some anyway, may be the future of farming. So I guess I want to, you know, I was talking about dairy in specific terms, but certainly in meat. There has been a move to make meat, make it, not grow it. Well, I suppose maybe growing it, making it in a laboratory. And so I guess understanding cellular agriculture is where I was. What's the difference, or is it the same, or is it comparatively the same, regenerative agriculture and cellular agriculture? Could cellular agriculture be part of regenerative agriculture?
Well, I would say they're definitely very different. I mean, regenerative agriculture is much more about can we take cattle and finish them on grass pastures or raise them in ways that lead to a good quality, healthy product that's good for the animal and good for the environment. So very different from trying to culture meat in a laboratory for sure. But there's no question our food system is going to be highly diversified going forward with a variety of production systems.
So then it flies in the face of those of us who are traditionalists, and I'm not sure, I'm going to ask you about that in a moment, the compatibility factor of people, because this program, as you know, is aimed at families and focused on food and the family farm. So is this something that is comfortable? I'm sure you've done some research with folks who are running smaller farms. Can we make regenerative agriculture work on all farms? That's the question when we come back for Dr. Rob Myers. Here, I'm Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down.
Back here on the American Family Farmer for this week. It's through the middle of January, cold, miserable weather across much of the country. But we are thinking in a positive sense about, I ordered my seeds, so that always turns the corner for me. When I order the seeds, yep, okay, spring's right around the corner. So in terms of regenerative agriculture and its impact on the family farm, Dr. Rob Myers, what is there? There has to be some compatibility, because even though agribusiness, four or five big companies are trying to control it, still 90-some-odd percent of the farms in our country are family farms. So is this, you're explaining this, you're peddling it, you're doing what with the message that you have here and, as it affects the family farmer?
Well, regenerative ag is important to the family farm in a variety of ways. First of all, for an individual farm family, I think it's not only about the health of the land and health of the community, but also their prosperity. So the system, you know, it's one thing to have a system that has minimal environmental impact, but it's got to be profitable for the producers so that they can stay in business. So that's certainly part of it. And we fortunately are seeing with some of these soil health practices that, for example, the Soil Health Institute did a national study that's on their website showing how farmers were generally getting more net profit per acre by doing practices like cover crops, no-till, and so on. But when we look at the larger picture of, you know, how many people are going to be in farming, a couple things spring to mind for me. One is that some of these regenerative approaches are leading for new opportunities for family members to stay engaged with the farm. We often hear a farm couple that maybe is nearing retirement say that they really have hopes and aspirations that one or more of their children will be able to stay involved in the farm. And what we're seeing is, for example, if it's maybe been a grain farm, if they're able to do some grazing of cover crops, that maybe one offspring, young man or woman, can be leading the crop effort, another one can be engaged with the livestock. Maybe they're doing more direct marketing, and so maybe that's a role for a third family member to get engaged in the marketing side of things. So it's creating some opportunities for some additional employment in some cases, not necessarily on every farm, but on some of them for sure, that are doing these more regenerative approaches. And then when I think of the health of the community, if you think of a landscape where there's green living covers year-round, where there's better diversity in the landscape in terms of conservation practices, that's a a more enjoyable landscape to live in, and I think that helps maybe keep a few people in that area that maybe otherwise would have left for opportunities elsewhere. So some of these things fit together in terms of both economic opportunities and creating a way of life that is enjoyable for the younger generation to stay engaged with agriculture.
So would these programs be run at various, you're at the University of Missouri, and I'm guessing that there are some other states, whether they are land grant colleges or just, you know, states that have good programs. Is this becoming more and more popular? Is it easier for you to find students that are going to come in and study this stuff?
Yeah, briefly, there are new regenerative agriculture programs popping up. There's one at California State University at Chico. Michigan State University is launching a new center. University of Illinois has a regenerative ag program. And there are more courses in this area, but not at every college yet. So this is really a trend that's taken off in the last 2 or 3 years. I expect we'll see quite a bit more growth and more opportunities in higher education going forward.
When you say it's just happened the last couple of years, is that because people like you are out there as sort of the pastor here, it seems to me?
Well, some of this is being driven by the interest. A lot of things are driving, but the food and ag companies that have come out, ranging from General Mills, Cargill, Target, others, and saying, we want regenerative ag, that's driving part of it. We could explore that further if you'd like.
Yeah, I want to explore it in that context and also bring you back to the family farm, because this is, as I say, I'm not here to promote big ag. We're here to help the small farmers survive. So we'll continue with that thought as we have Dr. Rob Myers stay with us for a little while longer on this week's American Family Farmer.
New year, new look. Nothing says fresh start like a clean-shaven face, a perfectly touched-up beard, or a handsome mustache. However you shave, there's nothing better than saving money all year long. And with cartridge refills as low as $2 each, a steady supply of high-quality razors from Harry's will help you spend less to look your best. So go to harrys.com now and use code FRESH22 to check out a starter set with razor, handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tabs, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court on Wednesday rejected President Trump's executive privilege and will now send his administration's records to the mostly partisan January 6th committee. Democrat Senator Zoe Lofgren from California on MSNBC.
We'll be getting the visitors' logs, the call logs, the outtakes from the videos that he made as people were trying to talk him into asking the mob to leave the Capitol. It will help us put together the picture of what happened leading up to the riot and on the day of the riot.
Senate Republicans blocked President Biden's self-proclaimed and partisan voting rights legislation Wednesday night. Two Democrat senators, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, joined the GOP in opposing changes to the 60-vote filibuster rule. The vote failed by a 52-48 count. USA Radio News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
The COVID tests that should have been ready to go this winter were not. Reports are saying President Biden's administration spent COVID testing funds on housing illegal immigrants to the tune of $2 billion. Putting illegal immigrants ahead of U.S. citizens has one congressman calling it feckless. Republican Representative Ben Klein from Virginia on Newsmax Wednesday afternoon.
This administration has handled the COVID testing scandal in a terrible way, putting lives at risk. And making Americans wonder who's at the till here, who's in charge of this administration. It's certainly not Joe Biden. His administration has been feckless and wandering when it comes to using this test money, which was allocated by Congress. And instead, he's allowed radicals in his administration to redirect this money to provide support and housing for illegal immigrants coming across the border. It's not something that Americans want to see. And I think that there's a majority in Congress right now ready to take action to make sure that taxpayers' money is spent wisely.
2-1-0. Ignition and liftoff.
A package of 49 Starlink satellites that rode a Falcon 9 rocket into orbit Tuesday night from Florida included the 2,000th spacecraft to launch into SpaceX's broadband internet network. In all, 2,042 satellites now surround the planet. The latest Starlink mission was the 35th dedicated Falcon 9 launch to build out the network. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Dr. Rob Myers here. I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome back into our second half hour of this week's American Family Farmer program, aimed at helping people stay on the farm, become successful on the farm. We were just talking about how many different centers for regenerative ag there are at colleges across the country. The extension program, I think in Massachusetts, I seem to think that there's one of the extension programs deals with this. I don't know if it's that heavy in Mass. UMass has a good ag program, but I'm not sure that this is pretty progressive stuff. And so I guess what you said something a few minutes ago that I want to go back to about how the big ag companies are involved. I'm death on big ag, even though it's probably I'm not going to kill them. But I think that they have gotten us to the point where we are right now, and I'm not thinking that we're in a particularly good place for the family farmer, especially the dairy person is having a real tough time. Now, you can say, well, it's because they haven't kept up with the times, or they've produced too much milk or whatever. You know, that doesn't help fix the problem. What I'm hoping that you can do, and like you at other colleges or other development programs, can give farmers an idea about how to sustain. We're talking about sustainable agriculture. We need to have the family farm sustainable. And so that's where I think you come in. I don't know if you're a sort of a teacher. I've had a few people on this program over the years, last couple of years, talking about soil health, especially conservation things. Don't you think most family farmers are into that and understand it and are practicing the things that are important for sustainability?
Yeah, I think almost any farmer is interested in the health of their soil. What we've lacked in the past is good ways to evaluate that. It's sort of like going to the doctor and the doctor says, well, I can't really tell whether you're healthy or not. You look okay. Now we have some new tools that we didn't have in the past. It's sort of like, okay, now you go to the doctor, they can measure your cholesterol, do some other blood tests, evaluate your body mass index, take your temperature, do all kinds of things to see what's wrong with you. And maybe where you're doing well. And so that's kind of like the same with soil health. We have a lot of new measurement techniques to measure soil health and see how we're doing. And that's part of the story. But we also have farmers, people like Gabe Brown in North Dakota, that have been thinking hard about how do we develop more integrative solutions that lead to regeneration of our soil health, not just maintaining the status quo. In the past, maybe we were focused more on soil erosion, preventing water quality issues, but now we're recognizing because of the life of the soil that we need to be paying attention to that. So that's really the fun.
Isn't that, though, to stay with that for a minute, isn't that the responsibility or the reason that we have a problem with our soils in part, in the main, the way I read it, is because we've let Dow and DuPont and Bayer and ChemChina and whoever else is out there trying to grow more ruin the soil. You've seen, I'm sure, the test that was done in Australia where there were a couple of acres of land on either side of the road. One of the sides was treated with organic material, the most of it compost and or manure, that sort of basis for fertilizing and keeping the soil up. And on the other side, it was treated with Roundup and various chemicals and that sort of thing. Now, this may be trite, but what came out of it was soil that was treated by the chemicals. It feels like a rock. It feels like it doesn't have any life to it, versus the stuff that had organic materials folded into it that feels like and looks like it's full of life. So aren't we, we're trying to fix a problem that kind of we've created, aren't we, in a way?
Well, there's all kinds of reasons we've ended up here. Too much tillage, too little crop rotation, not getting livestock manure back onto the land. All those things kind of combine to have a soil that is not very healthy in places. And so, you know, we need to look at making changes in our management to start rebuilding that soil health. And we had this originally with our prairies and our forest soils. They were very healthy soils because they were fed with living roots year-round and a diversity of plants. And so although we can't have 50 prairie species growing unless maybe we're going to graze it, we can start to get more diversity of plants to keep living roots out there year-round by doing things like cover crops and not relying so much on putting lots of fertilizer on, maybe instead trying to build some of the natural fertility of the soil going forward as we improve organic matter and so on.
Yeah. You talk a lot, and I know you're on a couple of committees and groups that are promoting cover crops. I've always thought it was pretty simple. A lot of people around where I am in New England use oats and rye and that sort of thing. I've used barley, and I like barley because it seems to have more nitrogen to it. Is there something that's better than others? What do you recommend when it comes to that sort of thing? It's a basic question, but I think all soil can use some basic ingredients to help keep it alive. Get it?
Well, there's over 30 different species of plants being sold as cover crops, and that's part of our challenge is figuring out which are the best ones to use for a given field or cropping system. Well, the one thing we know is if you use a diversity of cover crops, whether it's a sequence of different ones or have a mix of them together, that that's better than just maybe relying on the same cover crop all the time. Like cereal rye is the most popular cover crop in the United States, and some farmers, that's the only thing they use, and it's way better than not using any cover crop, but what's better yet is to use a mix of cover crops or a sequence of different ones. So barley is certainly one that gets used. Any of the winter cereals like rye, winter wheat, triticale, barley can be helpful. We like to have legumes out there if we can, depending on the cropping system, because of their ability to help improve the soil. And again, just the diversity of plants is very helpful for the soil microbial community.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of stuff to be thought about. I guess I come from the traditional end of things where we pile up the cow manure and we spread it and we till it in and plant our corn or whatever it is. It's sort of tradition, but being open to new ideas. And that's where if you can get people that are growing up on the farm who may want to stay on the farm, get them into these sorts of things. I've talked to a lot of younger women, especially, I'm sure you've probably seen this, who have come up on the farm and they've decided to stay, and they're using lots of techniques, these sorts of things that we're talking about, cover crops and the agronomical solutions to problems that are thought through by people who do a lot of research, versus the traditions on some farms. Nothing wrong with tradition, frankly. I love tradition. The traditions on my farm, or as I've explained, well, it used to be on the farm that I had, there were a lot of chemicals that were used, and I stopped that a long time ago. I have a big composting facility that I have created, and I mix up all kinds of, it's a witch's brew of pig manure, cow manure, horse manure, chicken manure, leaves, and all kinds of other organic things, and it makes quite a, it's, and people around complain about the smell. But it's really pretty good for the soil. I think that's, I mean, isn't that the simplest way? You don't have to, this doesn't have to be complicated at all, does it?
No, any way we can build the organic matter in the soil, whether that's through adding compost, doing cover crops, adding grazing systems, there's a variety of ways we can build that organic matter.
And it's pretty easy for you to incorporate them into the existing work that's being done on the farm. It's not like we have to start all over again from scratch, right?
Correct. A lot of these systems don't require dramatic changes in management. If we have, like in the Midwest, my family farms corn and soybeans, we've added cover crops to that rotation, or maybe some farmers can add a third crop to it. Maybe they can bring some cattle in and start doing some grazing after the corn is out of the field, grazing the cover crop. One thing we find with the animal that's really interesting, you would get this because of your background with the animals, is that that manure, urine, and saliva from the animal, it stimulates the soil biology. It's not unlike when we think of the buffalo on the prairie or deer in the forest. Those soil microbes evolved to have animals as part of the landscape picture. And so that's part of the idea with regenerative ag, is we're trying to reintegrate the crop and livestock piece, which happened in earlier years. We've just gotten away with it with our big fields of a single crop grown on large acreages. So.
By huge businesses, yep. All right, we'll pause for a moment, spend a little more time with Dr. Rob Myers here on this week's American Family Farmer. Very instructive, very I'm finding this to be an important conversation. The other important conversation I want to get your focus on is the condition of your body. Are you in need of losing weight? I'm looking at the website for Calitrin, which is toploss.com. Calitrin is the product that I have been talking about on my various programs for five, almost 6 years. Number one choice for healthy weight loss, mostly because it works. And it wouldn't have been around 24 years if it didn't work. Developed by a doctor who is also a scientist, and his three nurses, came up with this long journey now, the long day's journey into light, I like to call it sometimes, because it's very discouraging. People put weight on and they can't get it off. The older you get, the harder it is, and you heard those stories. So that's why I suggest when you get on a good program and you've lost the weight, you want to keep it off, you go to toploss.com. And you figure out how to use Calitrin, how it works best for you. And then you go to the website, you order a 3-month supply. They have their New Year, New You deal going on right now. You can also check out with the afterpay. You know, there's ways of, I know you're still paying a lot of bills from Christmas, so they'll support your weight loss efforts that way as well. Help yourself to the most successful way to transform your body and keep it the way you want it. Product is called Calitrin, the all-natural way to keep weight off. Great ingredients, great quality product, great people you'll love. You can connect with them, too, by the way, at toploss.com, to an agent that will help you, give you expert advice on what's going on with you personally and specifically. That's Calitrin, toploss.com. Somebody asked me the other day, how he could lose his belly fat.
Calitrin targets all over body fat. You know, of course, belly fat tends to be where everybody carries it, but Calitrin just really gives your body back what it needs. So it revs up your metabolism naturally, and you burn off those fats and sugars the way that your body wants to. So you do lose the belly fat along with just all over toning too.
So does Calitrin work best with a diet, with an exercise program?
Well, you know, we have people that have had success with it both ways. Obviously, if you're eating better, you know, eating in moderation, staying away from the sugars and the sodas, you know, you're going to see results faster than if you're just taking it by itself. But our 90-day program, that's a huge 86% success rate that we have. That's just with taking Calitrin alone. So check it out on our website, toploss.com. All the information is at toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. Or call us 1-833-TOPLOSS.
And use the DJV code for all these specials when you check out.
Tattletale. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. We teach children that tattletelling is wrong. As adults, groups ostracize those who oust their own members. Law enforcement officers, prison guards, military members, and athletes operate on unspoken codes that shun those who tell on their fellow members. Organizations call their tattletales whistleblowers. And perhaps the most violent reactions to those who tell on their own or snitch comes from the world of gang members who will do everything from cutting a person's face 150 stitches wide for telling on one of their own to killing them. From children to governments to organizations to criminals, tattletelling is not accepted. But why? Why is it unacceptable to call someone out for doing something wrong? It's a question worth considering. For more thought-provoking questions, visit drchristianconti.com.
Wrapping it up here with Dr. Rob Myers. So in terms of the companies that we have been talking about, you know, the big ag business, General Mills, McDonald's, people that are using a lot of agricultural products, are they coming into the mainstream here? Are they getting it, and are they encouraging their suppliers to do things the right way, or are they still out in left field?
Well, it's been interesting. You definitely are seeing some of the big food companies. So these are companies that are just buying the food, like General Mills, and processing it. They've been getting active in this space. Then you've got companies that are buying clothing, like Wrangler Jeans. They have been paying farmers to use practices like cover crops. Now, this is not for all of their cotton, but they're trying to get more of it. You even see beverage companies like PepsiCo that are trying to get farmers to produce corn that would go into the corn syrup in a more sustainable fashion. So There's kind of a variety of approaches. Some companies are doing it because they say they want their company to be carbon neutral. Others are doing it because of their supply chain. They've all got their own motivations. I can't pretend to know what all of those are, but it's definitely very obvious in the last 2 or 3 years that a lot of these companies have started talking about regenerative ag. So that's something new that we didn't see a few years ago.
Well, there's still the China shock of people learning that the Chinese have bought the processing plants for pork, controlling the pork industry, that kind of stuff, and they are not as interested as perhaps some of the more American companies in doing this. But if you take China out of the equation, because I think they're a nemesis on the world, frankly, the government there certainly is, but looking at what the Europeans are doing, what they're doing in South America, even in Africa, I think that there is you're making progress here, and so it's nothing but good. Is there a website that people can go to find you, or how do people find you to get a little more information?
Yeah, they could do a search for University of Missouri Center for Regenerative Agriculture, or the exact URL is CRA for Center for Regenerative Ag, CRA.missouri.edu. Takes to the website.
Yep, that's how I found it. All right, good luck. Thank you very much. Very instructive and very helpful. Hopefully a lot of people will buy into this message because it is important, and it's the significance of soil health can't be underscored. Dr. Myers, thanks. Dr. Rob Myers here on the American Family Farmer.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Moving into 53 past the hour, this is the American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen here with some thoughts. I want to remind you, I made mention of it earlier, but I think reminding people is a good thing, especially when there hopefully is as much good material as you can find by listening to the high points of our program. So if you can't listen to all of the programs and all of the individual programs, which happens if you don't catch it on the radio when it's being broadcast, you can find most of the essence of our conversations at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, where you get the podcast. And the most recent one is a discussion of what defines a family farm. And then we talk about the governor of Maine vetoing the farmer unionization bill. I think this is pretty important for all of the more agriculturally oriented states. Okay, let's see here. We talk about eggs and how many are consumed every day in America. We met Dr. Emma Lindberg, who is the director of programming at the National Farmers Union. They're doing great things to help out the small family farmer. We also have a focus on food sovereignty in the conversation. Some of the same things we've talked about here, actually, is sustainability and sovereignty. More and more of that is coming into the play, into the discussion on a daily basis. So all of that in the most recent podcast, but you can find hundreds of them going back to the beginning of our conversations on the website, AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. So I'm thinking this week in terms of my comments about agriculture and the challenges and the changes that are going on, some of them necessary, some of them not, in my opinion. One of the things that we're having to do a lot this year is cope with the weather. And I, on my daily DJV program, talk a lot with the ladies that are my co-hosts, Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Jay Kirshner, about El Nino and La Nina, and what these mean to us. But more for the purpose of our program here, what does it mean for the farmer? The El Nino weather cycle on North American weather conditions is very impactful El Nino is the warming phase, but then there is La Nina, the cooling phase. And so what's going on this year is very confusing. That's the thing that people are talking about. We've had some wild weather here the last 4, 5, 6 months, actually last year. I've talked a lot about the weather challenges. I have a large hay business. I do a lot of haying for custom haying for people and sell a lot of hay, small bales, big bales. And it's gotten high. We didn't finish haying until we couldn't get on the land anymore around Thanksgiving. And more that becomes the problem because we can't seem to find some consistent early summer, midsummer, late summer weather. The forecast now for temperatures that will be very cold, that's actually good for farms because it gets rid of all of the bugs. If you don't have a good solid freeze, then get rid of the bugs. We all know we certainly want to get rid of the bugs as much as we can. So anyway, sometimes when you're looking at the weather impact, it has, at least in my experience, affected what people buy for seed. Because you can buy seed for different conditions, right? I mean, you see it all the time if you go to the hardware store and buy your seed. If you're replanting your lawn, you've got shade, you've got this for this kind of soil. Well, the same thing is true, frankly, for the... So you can't grow all kinds of corn everywhere in the country and do it well. And so seed selection is very important. I think that's the point that I'm trying to make. And some of it has to do with seed for shade areas, seed for wet areas. As far as lawns are concerned, well, the same thing is true for corn or any staple, beans, anything that we grow lots of, wheat also. And so people are concerned about the forecasting of the weather because it doesn't seem to be too accurate. Well, it's not accurate because there's a lot of stuff going on, and neither am I an apologist for the global warming group. I think that there's a lot of truth to what's being said about the climate changing, whether it's all caused by man. I think to think that it is all caused by man is a ridiculous argument. But I think that there's plenty of stuff that we can do that will help us sustain and save the planet. And dealing with the weather, trying to have knowledge about the weather and what you can gain from yield and quality standpoints, knowing what the weather is all about, that's important. So many things to do, so many things to pay attention to. I know it's frustrating sometimes, but hopefully at the end of the day, it's rewarding. I find my time on the farm very rewarding. Hopefully you do too, and I hope I bring some of that optimism to every week's American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. It's 59 past the hour. It's harvest time.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.